You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, the first day of June of summer. There we go. I knew it was the first day of something. 2017 here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, and what are we advertising here?
It's a little inside injuries, blue football.
All right, I wanted to make sure we're advertising, you know, anything else. It's not paying us for it. And Wall Street Matt Modica. I'm Greg Sussman. Happy summer, everybody. It's my favorite season. I know Matt is counting down the days till September. But I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. I get to wear like a nice shirt here. It's warm. I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. It's nice outside, and we're in the middle of summer, so it's good. Corey, what's going on with you, man? Welcome back.
Yo, what's your deal? I'm fresh back in the trap house from down at the Crown Plaza for the FS, for some FSTA action. So we had a good time out there, but I need to be here getting people ready to win chips and getting, you know what I'm saying, getting people ready to win chips in 2017, getting people ready to draft they football teams. You feel what I'm saying? I got help Scott get back his championship form, so I need to be back. I need to be back in here.
Yeah. I don't need your help, just for the record.
Scotty, welcome back, man.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
You as well, sir.
Unfortunately, I'm back with Corey again for another day, but it's good to see you. Good to see you and Matt. It was fun, you know, seeing people out there and being part of the experience. And you know, we'll talk about some of the buzz that we've heard there, and you know, results from some of the panels and things like that. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. We're into that in a little bit, Scotty. I'm excited to hear what you and Corey, I know you guys are there for a while talking to a lot of people. So I'm excited to hear what you were, what some of the buzz was that you were hearing about some of the players that are going and where they're going and whatnot and who certain experts are excited about. So I'm excited to talk to you about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting time.
Wall Street, what's going on with you, man?
We got a full house today. I'm happy about that. Yeah. You know, everybody's back and, you know, get the team back together.
Everyone's back in the saddle. I was talking to a lot of my friends over the past couple days, and they're really excited that we're getting back into football. That like it's actually getting them started on some of their drafts earlier.
Oh, that's what's up.
Because they're like, all right, it's football season again, and they go, you know, nothing against you guys, but like, we're baseball. We're not really baseball guys. I want the football information, and they will, because of you guys, I feel more prepared. I'm prepared right now to make a draft than I am 2 months later normally, because you guys are getting into football, and I appreciate it. So.
I think that going over the FSTA draft, I think there was quite a few of the contestants that weren't ready for football.
Oh my goodness!
When re-examining it,
it was Matt. You're right. They're in the XFIP. I'm looking at the draft board. Like, what are these people doing? But we'll figure it out.
He's XFIP in the first round.
Well, you say that. We went over that yesterday. It's not as crazy as you think, Scotty. It's really not.
The Corey thought it was. He asked Chris Liss if he never watched football before.
I'm excited to hear Chris Liss's response on the other side. Let's get into the FSTA, gentlemen. What you guys were hearing, what you guys were thinking, and let's talk about it when we come back. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, back here, Roto Experts in the Morning. Happy to have Scotty and Corey back in the building. Back in Studio 34. Not Studio 54. Studio 34. Here.
That's more Motown than it is 70s.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I don't think Scott got past the rope, though.
Scotty, you mentioned a moment ago that something about XFIP and JHI and that maybe Chris Liss wasn't paying attention to XFIP.
That's what Corey says.
I thought you said the thing about XFIP.
But no.
Okay. Anyway, you gentlemen, you're the one pointed out JHI a moment ago.
Yeah. Right.
Corey, you called out Chris Liss for never watching football.
Yeah, I thought maybe because, you know, Chris Liss live out the country now. I thought maybe they didn't, you know, maybe the NFL wasn't streaming out there because I saw this JHI pick in the first round. Now, listen, it's not egregious, depending on what you think what the offense is going to do in 2017, going to catch the football more, more or less run the offense through him. But it's better players on the board at that time than Jay Ajayi. That's the way I feel about it.
I don't even know if he's going to catch football more. I don't want Jay Ajayi to have a first-round ADP. I don't have the confidence that he's going to catch the football more, because he just doesn't strike me as that type of player.
That's what they're talking about.
How many times do we hear this every summer about guys who run the ball and they don't catch? We heard about Adrian Peterson forever, that these guys were going to catch the football more. It doesn't happen. There's puff pieces that they write in the summer and these things don't happen. With Ajayi, I like him. I keep saying he reminds me of Steven Jackson in his prime. But the one thing that Steven Jackson didn't have was like a history of knee injuries when he came into the pros, to the point where he was bone on bone. So, like, I can't take Jai Ajayi in the first round. I can't do it. I like him a lot as a runner, but I have lingering concerns about his health.
I'll be underexposed.
You know, it's interesting.
I
brought this up yesterday, and, you know, you talked about Lisp being out of the country and drafting Jai Ajayi, maybe not really seeing Jai Ajayi play. But I know you have someone, Corey, and I said this to Matt yesterday. We went over pretty in-depth over 3 hours, and that was, when you compare Jai Ajayi's numbers to Melvin Gordon's numbers, I know you like Melvin Gordon quite a bit. They're very similar. Very, very, very similar.
How many games Jai Ajayi playing?
Jai Ajayi, remember, he didn't start the first two games.
Yeah
they had basically the same amount of carries.
They basically had the same amount of carries. We compared those things. And the touchdowns are slightly greater for Melvin Gordon, obviously. The yards are slightly greater, of course, for Jai Ajayi. And I understand you take the big games for Jai Ajayi against the Bills. Melvin Gordon also had some big games. You look at the yards per carry, which I didn't realize is skewed over the big games. I mean, that is a monster difference. 3.9 for Melvin Gordon, 4.9 for Jai Ajayi. I get the 200-yard games, basically, against the Bills. But these numbers, we talked about regression for Melvin, positive regression for Melvin Gordon last year when it came to touchdowns. Yeah. We saw it. Now we're probably talking about negative regression due to the touchdowns for Melvin Gordon. Just because if you look at the yards per carry, it's not that good.
Who led which team?
Yeah, but yards per carry, though, but 9 of his 10 touchdowns came within 3 yards or less.
I understand that, but is he going to get – is that going to happen again? I don't think
It's a good offense.
Which team last year had the most dominant rushing attack?
The Buffalo Bills
offensive coordinator.
That was Anthony Lynn.
Hey, look,
for most of the year.
I'll say this. Like Scott's talking about –
Who's San Diego's offensive coordinator?
Adam Gase run the show.
Ken Whisenhunt runs the show.
Where at?
The Chargers.
But Anthony Lynn will have
Anthony Lynn, it's going to be Anthony Lynn's running game. That's what he does. Ground and pound. That's why I'm banking on the system making the player better. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm going that way. Yeah, I'm on the scheme maker because this is what he does. His offenses lead the league in rushing year after year after year. Melvin Gordon's going to be that guy.
I'm going to take Melvin Gordon ahead of Jai Ajayi.
All the time.
But I will say this. I mean, Jai Ajayi, Scott talked about the bone-on-bone and stuff when he got out of college and the injury. But Melvin Gordon's coming off of an injury, too. Let's understand that.
Well, Dr. A did say, you know, it was like PCL and he should be good for the season.
He should be good.
Ajayi got held out for most of the first year.
Okay, but now he played last season. He's supposed to be the focal point of this offense from everything you're hearing. And if you do the deep dive, I mean, number one in yards after contact, elusiveness, breakability. I mean, he's up there in everything. I own zero shares of him so far. I would like to have a couple of shares of Jai Ajayi. I don't think it was egregious taking him ninth at all.
That was
by the way, everything that you said about, you know, yards after contact, et cetera, when Corey called out Chris Liss, that's how Chris Liss responded.
Yeah, but that's what you have to look. I mean, I think you have to. It's one thing I've been stating and why in the last couple of years I've really gotten into fantasy football even more is I do love that you can go to advanced metrics now.
Yeah.
It's becoming like fantasy baseball. There's a lot out there, and if you're not looking at it, then
you're missing the story.
Yeah, you're falling behind.
I think the big difference in fantasy baseball, though, is the fantasy baseball, you look back at the numbers, and it's more predictable, where in football, you can look back at the numbers, and that's all good, but it's also about what drives the numbers, too, like when he talks about schemes and things like that.
Well, I'll say this. So everybody's going to say Jai Ajayi did it in 2 or 3 games, and he had all that, you know, greatness. There was a really good article, I believe it was by Scott Barrett, and he broke down the other games too, and he was still very good in all these other categories. And like I said, I'm not going to be overexposed. I do want to have some shares. He's a guy that if, say, I'm picking at the end of the first round, and I can get him in the early second round, I really like that. I mean, Melvin Gordon's the guy I'm going to take after the big three. If I'm taking a running back that early, I'm probably going to be the wide receiver guy this year, as I've stated. But I mean, I've seen Jordan Howard go seventh overall in drafts I've done.
Yeah.
And if you look at what Jordan Howard did last year, I mean, he was pretty damn impressive. I mean, he really didn't get going until week five.
I got a Jai at 11, so it's not like I despise him. You feel what I'm saying?
11 overall.
Yeah, 11 running back. So it's
but
not
other
like
people have him higher than that. Clearly. You know, that's the difference.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever. If you want to go down that route, like I said, I'm going to be underexposed to it, and it's probably going to be a league with not a lot of money in it.
You know, and you talk about all these other things. You look at numbers. You know, you look at situation in football. Like Jordan Howard, yeah, great from week five on. But we talked about it yesterday, Corey. It's you know, first off, what's the quarterback situation? How good can Glennon be, you know, running that offense? And what if they have to bring in the rookie? And plus the fact that, you know, defensive coordinators within the division are, you know what he is now. He's not going to sneak up on anybody. They spend a lot of time in the offseason watching film, you know, seeing what this guy is. And he's going to get more defensive attention this year when he's coming out of the gate and they're more prepared for him and they don't fear the passing game nearly as much. That's what concerns me with Jordan Howard.
He's having a lot of
jitter. Yeah, I think there's risk with Jordan Howard, no doubt. I mean, that's why I'm more comfortable starting out, you know, going with the wide receivers and the guy that Corey loves, Isaiah Crowell. If I get him in the fourth round as my number one running back, I am so psyched about that. And then I can get a guy like a Woodhead later or these other pass-catching backs that I'm going to look to acquire and load up on. I understand, look, if I'm picking 1-2, it's Bell and Johnson. Either one I'm happy with. I'll take Bell number one, but either one I'm happy with. So it's a mindset. It's how you plan on setting up your team. And
roster
I mentioned yesterday, as Charlie Weigert has gotten crap for taking a kicker in the 10th round, which was deservedly so, I do like the way he started those first. He took Elliott. Remember we talked about Elliott, Corey, about you have to get those receptions. His next three picks were Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, and Julian Edelman.
There he goes. He's getting receptions. Catches.
He did it right there. That was a great start.
Which we certainly obviously talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Wrapping up the Jay Ajayi conversation here is simply that Jay Ajayi, as you pointed out, is your 11th ranked running back. He's not your fifth where he went in the first round, but he's your 11th. And, you know, Matt and I talked about this yesterday that really, you know, for me, after LeSean McCoy and then Devontae Freeman, I think you have a large mix of guys that you can pull from depending on how you like them.
Jordan Howard, Jay Ajayi. You know what I mean? If you want to play the four,
Todd Gurley,
Todd Gurley, I would take Todd Gurley over Jay Ajayi.
But I know you would. But you wouldn't argue someone took Jay Ajayi over Todd Gurley. I don't think.
I mean, nah, it's not the end of the world.
Exactly, and I think the stats back that up. That this is a lot closer than I think people want to believe and they want to see. And I was someone, I admitted this yesterday on the air, I was someone that I don't think realized how close some of this was. And that's why I don't kill Liss for taking Jay Ajayi in the first round. You may take whoever the hell you want. I personally, and I said this to Matt, I would want any of the three wide receivers before I touch the running backs, and it includes McCoy and Freeman. I would want Green or Hilton or Nelson, and then I would have dove into the running backs.
And I think that's what it is right there. I think it's the fact that he left those wide receivers on the board.
Right. And then when you get down to the bottom, when you after those receivers go, and you think a Giants best running back, go for it.
But
that's how I
think
I would've
had the mentality, and sometimes you'll see in this draft, especially in high stakes, that like, if you really, really like a guy like he does, and you don't feel like he's coming back on the swing, that's when you have to go for him. And Liss also made the point of, like Corey said, what about the fact he did all of this work in three games? He goes, just because he did that last year doesn't mean you can predict he's going to do it this year.
I also want to make it clear, Scott, you said in high stakes league, an expert draft. No, that's BS. In any draft, you should do that. Any draft, you love a guy so much, you go out and get him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It really strikes me more as high stakes league where people tend to do that.
In this league, I think he knew with like Glenn and Rick, everybody knows they're going to go double running backs. They draft the running backs. So he figured, let me get my running back here, get the wide receiver on the turn. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what he said.
We mentioned the Jay Ajayi pick. I want to talk to Corey and Scotty what else really stood out to them from their time with the FSTA over the past couple of days. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Why are we listening to Boys to Men?
You don't like Boys to Men?
Boys to Men.
ABC.
We should be listening to the Mobb Deep, considering you rest in peace to my son Prodigy. You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you. Is it like something happened to somebody in Boys to Men? It's like the three Boys to Men.
I don't like Boys to Men. I like the only song I like from them is "It's So Hard to Say Goodbye."
Yeah,
that's the one song.
I like Boys to Men. "End of the Road." That song they did with Mariah Carey was really good. "One Sweet Day."
"End of the Road."
Talented.
That's how Scott Fantasy season ends. We've come to the end of the road in week 13.
Says the guy who started 0-9 last year. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time of year, Scotty. It's that
season.
Baby.
I don't know, Scotty. The fantasy executive was 8
Get it. Let's go.
Let's get it. Let's go.
What's up, Greg? My bad.
Been winning long before I met you.
You have.
Anyway, at the FSTA, Scotty, you told me that you got a lot of insight from a lot of people that you spoke to. What's the one thing that stood out the most?
The talk about that esports might be the next biggest thing in fantasy sports, but there's different opinions. There were a lot of esports, their companies there, and like Corey was making some good points. He said, you know, my son's actually like watching people play video games online. I'm doing my draft. Is this the same audience? But you know, DraftKings has esports now, and there were a lot of companies there. There was a lot of talk that I heard that, you know, esports could be the next big thing, or at least maybe they'll try to make it the next big thing.
Corey, what was the point that stood out to you the most at the FSTA?
Well, you know, you had a lot of the business stuff going on and stuff like that. Obviously, everybody trying to figure out to find their way in this new fantasy space that we're in, and regulations and stuff like that. But as far as player-wise, people that I've been talking to and some of the conversations I had, a lot of people are really, like, people's opinions are all over the place on Christian McCaffrey. Everybody likes him as a player, but they worry about Cam Newton. They worry about Shula. And they think Jonathan Stewart's going to be in the mix some. So Christian McCaffrey is going to be a hot topic these next couple of months. You feel what I'm saying?
Here's my thoughts on McCaffrey. I love him in the fourth round. In the third round, I'm going to take Joe Mixon over him every time.
Joe Mixon's moving up draft boards.
Well, this is something we talked about yesterday, Matt, right? Christian McCaffrey, and we saw in the FSTA, and I think we're going to continue to see it as more and more drafts come. He's going to slide. I think he's in a lightning rod. He's going to slide. Someone's going to fall in love and take him. Besides that, I think most people will be off while Joe Mixon slides the other way. I totally agree with that, Corey. Scott, let me go back to you here now at the FSTA. What was the one player that you heard the most buzz about?
One player I heard the most buzz about? There was, you know, you covered a lot of it. I mean, there was a lot of Ajayi talk there, but there was a lot of Marshawn Lynch buzz.
Really?
Oh, a lot of Marshawn.
Okay.
We talked a lot about it. Paul Charchian, you know, president of the FSTA and, you know, leaguesafe.com and KFAN. He's very, very big on Marshawn Lynch, but kind of a polarizing topic.
All right, so let's get into Marshawn Lynch here a little bit. So Lynch goes with the very last pick over the third round. Remember, it's a 14-team league. He goes at the end of the third here at the turn, third running back for Colton and the Wolfman. Now, Modica here, that's a third running back for these guys. Is that why you think they felt comfortable taking him there?
I think so. I would have went double wides here with them. I understand they had
smart system.
They had that smart system and stuff. But they had Howard and Freeman there. And in a 14-team league, I think you need more wide receivers. When Corey Coleman's your number four, that's not inspiring to me. And, you know, they could have got a running back later on, a pass catcher guy.
Yeah.
You could have got a Theo Riddick, could have took a shot on a Kareem Hunt, or even a Danny Woodhead or something like that. That's the way I look at it. They're very good players. They have their approach, so I'm not going to knock them. They always come prepared. This is a team that always comes prepared. They're not like some of the people I talked about that were unprepared.
Corey, you said you also heard quite a bit about Marshawn Lynch. Was it positive? Was it negative? What were you hearing?
Mainly positive. The industry is up on Marshawn Lynch. Everybody, they like, okay, well, he took the year off and stuff. I think the most negative people on Marshawn Lynch are Scott and John Hansen. I was talking with the guru last night. And he was like, he likes him, but worry about, you know, that year off. You know what I'm saying? It was big for the guru. Didn't say, like, you know, he was like, he doesn't trust that too much. But everybody else is like, look at that offensive line. He took a year off. He's healthier. Like Charge was saying, he wasn't so much battered when he was in Buffalo. So they think he still got some tread on the tires. So I'm of that camp, too. He's a player. Listen, I skipped him in the draft the other day. Came back a little bit later on, got my two backs, Carlos Hyde and Dalvin Cook. There you go, Greg. And that one's got some that's gonna play out with some bread on it too. So I'm a Lynch guy, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Lynch guy. I'm going to have Marshawn Lynch, and I'm willing to risk him as an RB1. Maybe the yardage is not there, but I think I can get 14 touchdowns.
Yeah, I got my first share of Lynch in this current NFFC draft I'm doing in the fourth round. He is my RB1. I went Green, Bryant, Aaron Rodgers, then Lynch.
And got the quarterback in there early.
Everybody, I track a consensus rankings of people that I respect, and pretty much everybody has Marshawn Lynch as a top 12 back this year.
There you go, he's RB1.
Everybody I see is either, you know, anywhere from 9 to like 13.
I got him at 13.
Which is interesting because I don't think I'm more on the Scott side of things where I don't think I would have him there, to be honest with you. Because for me, you have the big three. You have McCoy. You have Ajayi for me. Mm-hmm. That's 5. Melvin Gordon, 6. Howard, 7. Freeman, 8. DeMarco Murray's 9. You know I'm putting Lamar Miller there. That's 10.
Oh, God.
I'm putting Fournette there. That's 11. I'm putting Gurley there. That's 12. I'm putting Joe Mixon there. That's 13. I'm putting Crowell there. That's 14.
Yeah, I would have taken Christian McCaffrey over Marshawn Lynch, but he went 2 picks ahead.
Carlos Hyde over him, Greg? Then you're going to drop him to 15 if you put Carlos Hyde over him.
I can't. As much as I'm not as big on Lynch as everybody else is, I couldn't put Carlos Hyde over him. You know, injuries, the lack of touchdowns, you know, that speaks more to the team than his ability, but still, it's a factor. It's just like, you know, you've all heard what I've said about Lynch. You know, I think 8 touchdowns will probably be there. Yardage is going to be dicey, I think. I think everybody's in love with the story. And from fantasy purposes, I think I'd see more of the negatives that I really saw that final year in Seattle.
Let me throw this out there to you guys. It was something we talked about a month or two ago, and it's already changed. In the FSTA draft, Eddie Lacy went before Marshawn Lynch. And we had said many, many times, all right, I may like Eddie Lacy a round or two later, no problem. But I found it very interesting that Lacy goes 2
that
picks
was a horrible
before
pick.
Yeah, but yeah, nah, but that pick was made by Howard Bender, so you got to disregard that. So that was like that was almost like a mistake. So yeah. You know, I kind of hate that did happen. We got to talk about it and discuss it.
We have to.
He took him ahead of Isaiah Crowell as well.
Yeah, I mean, Howard Bender made the pick, so I'm not. We can't really analyze that. You can't rationalize with an irrational person. You feel what I'm saying?
Scotty, speaking of Eddie Lacy, who goes over the projection or creates projections of the Roto Experts exclusive edge packages available right now, by the way, using free radio?
Everybody does a different position.
Okay.
I do the quarterbacks.
Oh, so you did the quarterbacks.
Jake did the running back. Okay. I think Jake did the running backs.
Okay.
Dolan Kidd.
Dolan Kidd did the quarterbacks.
I did the quarterbacks.
Scotty did the quarterbacks. Corey, if you had to guess what quarterback PPR leagues is projected to have the second most amount of points, who would you guess that is?
Quarterbacks don't have PPR.
Fine.
Okay. You scared me for a minute.
Maybe we get that question during the season. What quarterback would you start in PPR?
I'm just saying, you had the quarterbacks, the second most points for a quarterback, according to the RotoExpert exclusive edge package available now, free radio.
So being that you're asking the question like this, it must not be Tom Brady.
It is not Tom Brady inside the exclusive edge package.
It's Drew Brees.
It is not Drew Brees.
That's interesting.
Clooney did the projections.
Scott, you did the projections?
Scott did the projections.
That's intriguing. I'm trying to figure out. Not with the shoulders. Scott wouldn't say Andrew Luck.
It is 4-point passing touchdown leagues. I didn't mean PBR. That's what I meant. The 4-point passing touchdown leagues.
Matt Ryan?
Nope.
Is it Cam Newton?
Nope.
Russell Wilson.
Oh!
It was one of those. Oh! I was a running quarterback.
Oh, boy,
he put his heart into it.
He put his boyfriend number 2.
You're number 2?
Russell Wilson, Scott, break it down. 5,000. Well, one thing I will say, 5,000 yards of total offense.
When I did the projections, yeah. I have to tell you this, though. I didn't add up the total points. I just put down the yardage and everything, the amount of passing touchdowns. I feel like Wilson's going to go back to what he used to be and is going to rush more this year than he did in the past. And when he did that, he was a top 3 quarterback.
And we could highlight yesterday what Chris Vaccaro said. He got him for our team, FNTSY.
Yeah. Yep.
And he said in this league, the 4-point league, he was targeting Russell Wilson. He's never been a Russell Wilson guy. But if he gets 50, 60 yards rushing a week, that's an extra touchdown that he adds on.
This is a guy. This is a guy before he got hurt last year. You can count on him for like, you know, a really good amount of rushing yards and, you know, like 3-4 rushing scores.
I mean, it could very well be 5,000 yards total offense and touchdowns and stuff like that. He's flirted with 30. I don't think he's hit 30 in his career yet.
He hasn't hit 30, but if they go back to what they do, you're going to get 500 rushing yards, and you might get about 26, 27
you
touchdowns.
You sure he's had a 30 touchdown pass season?
I said 26, 27, okay. I just said.
But has he done 30 in his career?
So I think you're being a little bit advantageous about Russell Wilson here. Because I think you were talking about him being healthy, he's going to go back to what they did. I think this offense may have changed a little bit.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
He's on the staff.
What they're doing is they had him drop back a lot. What they want to do, the reason why they acquired Lacy is they want to go back to power running game and run pass balance.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to disagree with you. So don't tell me I'm wrong. They haven't. Because I'm going to take Tom Brady over Russell Wilson this year.
You have to remember something too, though. When you're adding up total points, you're not talking on a game by game basis.
I understand.
Necessarily average,
of course.
So I when I do my ranks, I'm still going to have Brady ahead of Wilson.
But it's very interesting. Very interesting. I'd like to go into that with you.
34 in 2015.
Not Brady over Wilson so much as projections over rankings, right? Like to me. And maybe I'm understanding this wrong. That like I want the guy that has projected to have the most points, and yet you're not going to rank it that way. So I'm really interested in hearing how that works. I don't know. So we'll get into
What I'm saying is I'm not blaming you for taking Brady over Wilson.
We'll talk more on the Roto Experts in the morning. Come up next. So we're trying to understand what we should be looking at when we subscribe to things like the Exclusive Edge Package, which, again, available right now, free radio, and to check out rotoexperts.com. It is our premium package. It is extremely useful. Check it out. But I want to know the right things to look at. I mean, that's half the battle, trying to figure it out. There's so much information in the package is that...
Streamline it.
Right, exactly. I want to be able to understand what could most benefit me. Scotty, you know the quarterback projections. And your second highest projection for quarterback was Russell Wilson. And yet, you just told me that when you do your rankings, which will come out later this summer inside the Exclusive Edge Package, you will not be having Russell Wilson second. You very, very likely would have Tom Brady, potentially.
I might have one spot ahead because I think, you know, I might get more consistent production from Tom Brady.
So what?
But they're very closely projected, so.
So what should I be looking for? When I'm trying to look at the package, should I be looking for projections or should I be looking for rankings?
I think you know when you have like different experts like me and George and Jake, you know, I think, you know, maybe should you look to the expert I think you trust most.
Okay. But like that wasn't.
I don't know if I understand your question totally.
Right. Sure. My question is: does
Jake ranked his projections?
Right.
So if Jake do his projections, that's how he ranked.
Right.
You're doing projections. You got. Homeboy, what's his name? Russell Wilson, your partner. You got him number two in quarterback. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he should be like in projections. He's number two. So when your rankings come out, he should be ranked two. You should be ranking to the projections. That's why Jake apparently win these things, but he don't win no championships. Seems to be a theme.
With who?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing with rankings, number one. I mean, when you're building a team, I mean, I might have somebody ranked a little higher, but maybe I need some upside. Maybe I want Martavis Bryant, even though I have Willie Snead and Jamison Crowder or Brandon Marshall ahead of him. But now at this point, I have my three wide receivers who are number ones, but I want to hit a home run here. So, I mean, it's all relevant. I think rankings are good to look at. They're fun to look at. But you need to know how to build a team in
roster fantasy. Construction is
you
the
really
point.
Do. That's one of the most valuable things, in my opinion. I wouldn't look at anybody's top 100 or whatever just straight down the line because, you know, you have to at some point get a tight end. Or if a tight end falls and there's value there, that's when you got
to
jump
on. I mean, you want to print a cheat sheet and take it to the draft like that. Listen, that's the way you've been doing it for years. I'm cool with that. You know, you're still going to be very competitive, and you're just not going to be able to beat me playing that way.
Well, but also too, like say you want Jake's rankings, and you like somebody, but there's two guys that are really close. and you look to Jake and you say, Jake likes this guy better. That's my type.
No doubt. I like that theory.
And I understand that. But again, I go back to my initial question. How, if you're projecting one thing, I'm very confused if I should be, if I'm me, right? I want to read Scott Engel's stuff.
Right.
Because that's the king. He's the one I trust. That's what I want to read. The king has projections and the king has rankings. They're different. Jake's aren't. Jake ranks based on his projections. You're telling me you don't. You know, because of week-to-week stuff, like as you just mentioned with Brady and Wilson, for instance. Should I, as me, if I want to read the king's stuff, should I be looking at your projections or your rankings?
They're going to be very, very close, though. I may have Russell Wilson projected for a few more points than Brady, but right. I might expect more average points per game from Brady. And, you know, you're talking about 17 weeks here and, you know, that I have to project for, whereas sure. I'm ranking for like 16, too. And then you're talking about upside, too.
So you're just going to probably go.
No, what I'm saying is when I rank guys, I don't take week 17 to account.
When you project,
I have to. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to project for the whole season. But you're not going to see many major differences between my ranks and my projections. But when I'm doing my ranks, I'm thinking more on an average points per game basis than I am an overall basis. So my answer would be you look at my ranks, okay. But my projections are going to be very close to the ranks.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand. I really didn't understand.
Just wanted to know the process.
I did. That's all I was looking for there. Okay. I do want to get back into the FSTA draft and hear more about what you guys were seeing. Corey, you were there for 2 days talking to people, getting information. I know you've obviously built up, Corey, your opinion on a bunch of guys, but who is another name other than Marshawn Lynch that you heard bandied about over the last 2 days?
Another player that I think people have different opinion on is the Adrian Peterson situation. Here we go. We go back with these elder statements at running back. I look at it, I don't see it. You know, I think he's toast. I think he's pop. But a lot of people in the industry still think that Adrian Peterson is a thing that he has some good year, that he has a good season left in him, and they love the touchdown upside in that offense.
Well, I want to make this clear. I mentioned this yesterday on the show. We'll get into it again now. Mark Ingram went in the middle of the fifth round. Adrian Peterson went in the very last pick of the sixth. Major difference there. Between Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson, and yet Peterson's the buzzy name, as Corey mentioned, at the FSCA with all these experts, not Mark Ingram.
Yeah, there was like a school of thought with Ingram, just like, you know, that Sean Payton doesn't like him.
Right.
They'll bring him in, like Corey saying, that he strikes you as a one-down back because he's not going to play on third down, and, you know, what if they run, they don't run the type of formations he runs out of, but... The more I think about it, and the more I hear and the more I listen, I feel like they want to phase Peterson in and kind of phase Ingram out. And, you know, they got the rookie there to catch passes. If he's going to be the goal line runner in a very powerful offense there, you know, it's like everybody's down on Adrian Peterson. Everybody's up on Marshawn Lynch. These guys are like a similar age, and they both missed 1 year. But to me, it's almost the same narrative.
Who's been battered with injuries, though?
What's that?
Who's been battered with injuries?
Both.
Lynch is not like an injury brittled player.
2 years ago, he was. The last time he played football, he had a torn ACL.
His groin was in about to fall off last year.
Yeah, but look, Lynch looked like he was starting to be broken down in 2015. A lot of people forget that.
I didn't see it like that.
They're so in love with this. I watched every game. He looked like, you know, he was breaking down. We had all been talking about for years about when is he going to break down, when is he going to break down. Didn't happen.
And then it did.
Then it did. And everybody's forgetting it because they're so in love with the story. They're so in love with the offense and the offensive line. But as a player, this guy was breaking down from a lot of physical play over the years.
I agree, Scotty. I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
You can handle it like you can care. I mean, I understand people Peterson, that. I just can't see it.
Peterson's going to be a goal line back in a powerful offense, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How many times is Drew Brees going to throw the football?
A lot, but how are they finishing off a drive to give the ball to Adrian Peterson.
You say that. How many times is Drew Brees going to throw the football? But it's not like Mark Ingram hasn't been a valuable fantasy running back over the past several years.
Yeah, he has been. But I think Mark Ingram at this stage in their career, I think Mark Ingram's a better player.
So then why sign Adrian Peterson?
You think Mark Ingram is a better player, but you're not the coach Sean Payton is.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, I want to draft Mark Ingram, but even in 12 teams where he's going in the sixth round, I'm kind of staying away until I see a clearer picture here, because I don't know what the hell's going on. It just seems so evident that they're making a role for Peterson, as Scott said. It seems like for some reason they brought him in. They have a vision for him, and it seems like Mark Ingram is getting pushed aside. Doesn't make sense to me, but it is what it is for now.
Scotty, I received a question on Twitter going back to our previous conversation. I did want to throw it out at you here. When you do your rankings, is that based on how players will finish or based on how you would draft them?
You talk about how they finish, because rankings or projections?
Rankings was the question I received on Twitter.
Rankings, where you would draft them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you have to look at relative value and, you know, everything like that.
Okay. So when you do your rankings, it's where you would draft them. Is that what you said?
Right, where you draft them. You project somebody. You might project another guy higher, but, you know, he might not be the same value, you know.
Same value.
Doing your rankings.
Or maybe there's some risk involved.
Yeah, it's not as simple as, like, the rankings got to be the same as the projections.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that for our buddy Michael on Twitter. He threw that out there at myself. Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, two of these older running backs, Mark Ingram, the younger guy, and yet it seems to be that there's the most questions about him rather than the other two, which I find, you know, again, very, very interesting. Let's go back to you, Scotty, with your next buzzy player, but buzzy word that you, sir, heard at the FSTA.
Next buzzy player, next buzzy word. I would say, you know, looking at the at the first, there was some talk about Julio Jones.
Okay.
Because he went pretty early to
Five
overall to Tim Jensen. And, you know, look, Julio, like Corey says, you know, might be the most physically gifted receiver in the NFL. But, you know, Tracy Hankin got Taylor Gabriel in the 13th round of the B draft that they had there, too, though. And what if Julio Jones goes down, you know, how much does Taylor Gabriel have to step up there? I think it's terrific value in the 13th round. But Julio over Odell Beckham Jr. and Evans, it's like, I couldn't see it. I just can't. The guy gets injured too much.
But yet he does play and he produces points every year. I mean, I understand. I've taken Beckham over Julio, but, you know, I get that. I think one of the best things we heard yesterday from Chris Vaccaro was about Michael Thomas in New Orleans. He mentioned that he took Dez Bryant ahead of him, and he mentioned that Michael Thomas could be this season's Allen Robinson, where, you know, we get it wrong.
Yeah.
And he's with Drew Brees. He's the number one. It's kind of why I really like Willie Snead
a lot this season.
Michael Thomas is going to get the number one cornerback every week.
Yeah.
I think Snead takes another step up. He's a guy that's moving up my draft boards, a guy that, you know, if I can get him in that range, I think the decision does come between, like, the Jamison Crowders, the Brandon Marshalls, the Willie Snead, whoever you kind of preference, more of a personal preference.
But how can you compare Michael Thomas to Allen Robinson when you're talking about
Drew Brees versus Blake Bortles?
Okay, but he's only done it 1 year. There's the fact that we talked about it.
The carry yesterday.
He made some really good points about it. We can talk about it after the break.
Well, after the break, we go at the park with Ian Happ with Scott Engel. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues after this. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Sports Television Network as well, live each and every morning. The King had an opportunity, head out to City Field last week, and talk to some of the Chicago Cubs, including rookie Ian Happ, who many of us didn't expect to see for this length of time here this season, but he's getting regular playing time. And Scotty, you had an opportunity to catch up with him.
Yeah, and, you know, Happ right now striking out 33.3% of the time. That's in the minors, you know, that's up over 10%. He's hitting .218, but he just has a BABIP of .254, but does have 7 home runs this month. I asked Ian Happ, like, you know, throwing out all those numbers, how much do you pay attention to sabermetrics?
You know, the numbers prove that when you hit the ball in the air, you have more success. There's more slug in the air, and you know, for me, the way my swing works, if I'm trying to hit a fly ball to center field, that's when I'm successful.
Is that something like maybe you gleaned from Sabermetrics? Do you like pay attention to some of those numbers?
Not really the Sabermetric numbers as much. Just you know, coming up through the minor leagues and you know, playing baseball in college, you kind of start to figure out that the higher levels you go, ground balls are outs. The infielders are too good up here, you know.
Yeah, for what I was talking to Hap about there was he said his goal is to basically hit the ball in the air to center field as much as he can and everything else will take care of itself. His fly ball rate is 39.7% at the majors right now, and that's up from what he had in the minors last year at 35.8%, and even in the minors this year, we're only at 38.7%. You know, 2015, he had a 42.5% fly ball rate, but he said the hitting coaches are constantly working with him on hitting the ball in the air to center field. Whereas when I spoke to Jay Bruce, his approach was hit more in the air to right center field.
Yeah, I think with baseball now, like with pitchers, it's max velocity. With hitters, it's grip it, rip it, and hit the ball in the air. You know, we're getting all that true outcome stuff. That's the way everything's going. That's the way it's trending.
I find it interesting, Scotty. I know you. This is one of your, the points that you hammer home here with some of the, a lot of players you speak to about sabermetrics and about hard hit percentage and exit velocity and Statcast and how a lot of these guys now are focusing in on it. I guess you find it.
Some are, some aren't.
Well, but I think that's what you're finding the most interesting, right? Like who is and who isn't, yes. And how it's affecting their performance. Because I could just see that in your line of questioning.
Yeah, like with Anthony Rizzo, when you listen to these Cubs interviews, Google Play, On Demand, iTunes, you know, Anthony Rizzo says, "I don't need to look at the numbers. I have an innate feel, you know, for you know where the you know what I'm doing and where and how it's going. I don't need to look at the numbers." Whereas like Jay Bruce and Ryan Zimmerman saying, "Well, this is stuff that I'm starting to absorb more." I think ultimately the players don't rely more on, you know, their intuition and, you know, they're paid to, like, you know their body and et cetera. But, you know, sometimes they want this outside input and it's more creeping in more and more every year, I think.
You know, that, I find that, like I said, very, very interesting only because that it's the players that are really using it are kind of in two groups. Young players, as Scotty just said, and players that have struggled, that have gone into these really deep slums and have to figure out how to get out of it. Ryan Zimmerman being a prime example, Jay Bruce being a prime example. Well, Anthony Rizzo kind of grew up in like almost like the era right before the Statcast era, and like he's had a monster amount of success in his time in the MLB, and he's like, you know what? I don't need this crap.
I remember interviewing Russell Martin a few years ago and asked him if he paid attention to it. I like, you know, what's your approach to stuff like that? He's like, get a strike and hit it.
Right, so I mean, that's just the old school mentality. See ball, hit ball. And it's just as simple as that. Others, like, you know, Ryan Zimmerman being the fine example, literally looks at his large angle and tries to figure it all out.
Daniel Murphy is the best example of a guy who really looks at both sides of the game and actually studies fan graphs.
And he turned his career around. I mean, not around, but he turned his career into a
Kevin Long deserves
major,
some credit.
And
helped Ryan Zimmerman in that regard.
Yes, he did. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into the FSTA again. A little fill in the blank coming your way here in hour number two, along with Dr. A. This all is coming up on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Roto Experts in the Morning here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy to have you aboard for the next hour. Old School Fantasy comes your way next. Corey back in the saddle for the OGs. Of course, that is coming up.
And then we got, supposed to be continuing our contest today. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, the young man may be a little late, though. So we'll see what's going on with that. Yesterday, last night, at the closing reception of the FSTA, I was chilling with the homies, Jeff Manns and Tommy G and Ray Flowers and Magic City Sports guy Kevin Adams, you know what I'm saying? Screenshot Mafia was in the building.
All right, you're chilling with
I was chilling with Screenshot Mafia last night. I love that. You know what I'm saying?
So you literally just brought that up just to name drop them?
I just wanted to name drop. Give a shout out to everybody over there at Screenshot Mafia, Guru Elite, Screenshot Mafia.
So basically, you just tried to say, you just said Screenshot Mafia five times in one sentence.
Yeah. I'm making sure that they know what they're branded as. Screenshot Mafia.
That's six. Corey's trying to pull a Florio, get a job somewhere else.
No, I'm loyal. I'm not like Florio.
I'm loyal to that bag.
I'll be honest with you. So there you go, right there.
He's already admitting it. Yeah,
he's loyal to that bag. These kids got to eat. Scott.
If you could pay him, you know,
these kids can't eat. Promises.
We'll have Stampful as the fourth now.
Shout out to Frank, Frankie baby.
Damn, you're out of control this week.
Go ahead, Greg. I got my football with me. I feel good.
You feel good.
Yeah, when I was outside, the twins that work in Rockin' Raleigh's, the sisters, Mary and Sophie.
Name's not Mary or Sophie, but it's fine.
They was like, oh, what's that? Like, because they from Morocco and Africa, whatever. And they don't know much about football. So they was like, oh, let me see, it's a ball. They was like, oh, wow. They was impressed by the football. So I was telling them about when I used to quarterback.
On Madden?
No, Scott. In the Bronx. In the Boogie Down. What's good? How are we doing this morning?
I don't know.
Sam.
Come on. You guys should be happy. You should be happy. We talking football. FSTA draft has passed. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to win some chips.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
With the Screenshot Mafia, probably.
Screenshot Mafia. They all right. I'll be right here. I'll be winning my chips right here.
All right. Just making sure. I did want to have a couple of fill in the blanks for you. We're going to do that on the other side. My question is, before we hit the break, though, Corey, it's for you. Eric Decker went before both Corey Davis and Rashard Matthews.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up. Nah, it don't make sense to me. Eric Davis, I understand the red zone work, and Tennessee's going to run the football, so you got to think, well, let me have the guy that's probably scored the most touchdowns. He's also the guy that's beat up. I'm still going with the young man, Corey Davis, is my number one wide receiver in the Tennessee Titan offense as a rookie.
I'll ask both Corey and Matt the same question. Why did Eric Decker go before Corey Davis and Rashard Matthews? We'll try to figure it out and break it down when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hanging out. And the question I posed to that side of the table there was, why Eric Decker over the other Tennessee wide receivers? And, you know, Corey made the point during the break that it's Tyler Bender. How do you pay? You know. Eric Decker went toward the end of the sixth round. The beginning of the sixth round. Corey Davis went a couple picks later. Rashard Matthews a few picks later than that. How do you make sense of it, Modica?
I'm going to go with Rashard Matthews. I think he's the guy that has the chemistry with Mariota. I think Corey Davis is a phenomenal talent. Right pick for them to make in the draft and everything. But I'm gonna go based on what I know. Decker, I need to see him out there on the field right now. I need to see him healthy. I'm worried about that. He's been if it was Eric Decker from a couple of years ago, yeah, sure, I'd go Decker. I don't think it's that same guy, and I need to see him there.
Right.
That's kind of the problem with Tennessee. Like, in a draft I just did in the, whatever it was, the 10th round or so, 9th round, I took Rudolph over Delanie Walker just because I'm really not sure how this pass offense. I know Delanie Walker is going to get his share, but I don't know how everything's going to play out right now. I know Rudolph's one of the main targets.
So hey, let me ask you. You said Rudolph, Delanie Walker. What round did you take Rudolph in?
I took him in the 10th round.
Okay.
Eighth pick in the 10th round.
I like tight end there and having him.
Zach Ertz and Martellus Bennett went ahead of these guys.
That's not bad.
But speaking of Tennessee, I think people draft Decker first because he's the established name that they know, number one. Number two, Corey Davis is a rookie, you know, along those same lines. And third, they figure with all the other weaponry there that it might be a step back for Rashard Matthews. But, you know, look, Decker is not – Tony and I were talking about this morning. he's not old for a wide receiver, and like, you know, he's never missed that many games before as he missed the past year, so we can't assume that he doesn't have anything left. It's kind of hard to read this situation.
Yeah, but he's coming off some severe injuries.
He is coming off some severe injuries, and the first year back might not be too productive. Out of the three wide receivers, I might still lean Rishard Matthews in a PPR because both Deck and Rishard Matthews are established, but you know you don't have any concerns with Matthews. And Matthews, even go back to his Miami days, yeah, is really, really underrated as a chain mover. As much as you like Corey Davis from a talent perspective, he's still got to prove it. He's still got to get that comfort level down with Mariota that Matthews already has. So I'd probably go Matthews, Davis, Decker personally.
I mean, I would have taken DeSean Jackson over both.
I think I would have gone with Rishard Matthews as well, Scotty, for the reasons that you mentioned. There is a natural chemistry already there, I think, with Marcus Mariota and Matthews, and perhaps and hopefully he'll develop with Corey Davis. I think Decker will probably be a red zone specialist.
All right, so the Inside Injuries app, right? InsideInjuries.com. My man, Dr. Abe, coming up in a little while.
Yes, be on the show next, yeah.
Ding. Below average. Injury risk category, high. Health performance factor, below average. I'm going with the Inside Injuries app. You feel what I'm saying? We've already seen what it does already. They got his injury history right here. That rotator cuff last year, that was bad business. A complete tear of the ligament. I'm not... This guy's beat up. He's beat up. Corey Davis ain't beat up. He's
hurt.
I don't know where you go with this. I don't think the terminology is beat up necessarily as much as it is like he's got a lot to recover from.
Corey Davis is low injury risk. Health performance factor above average. Yeah. Give me the healthy guy this time of year. Eric Decker.
Always give me the healthy guy.
Yeah, Eric Decker. Yeah. Eric Decker. I don't want to say Eric Decker's washed at 30.
I think people will draft Eric Decker this year as 2015 Eric Decker.
You know what could happen? You might not get much out of Decker this year, and then he could have a bounce back season in 2018.
Best ball for me for Eric Decker. Yeah. That's the only way I'm having him. Best ball, double digit rounds.
Yeah, I think I'm cold on Decker to you guys. I think I'm ultimately third. I mean, he's the third of the Tennessee guys for me. Maybe fourth, probably after Delanie Walker, to be honest with you. But again, Kyle Rudolph over Delanie.
When I went to Modell's, I saw two jerseys on clearance for $20.
How you doing?
Derrick Rose and Eric Decker.
Maybe Kristaps Porzingis will be next.
Yeah.
I know. They got. What about the David Wright one? That one is probably free. They got them joints in the back. They use them to clean off the toilet.
I asked Matt about this yesterday,
Corey.
Have
Mattingly?
I asked Matt about Mattingly, dude, that was 20 years ago.
I know, but that's one of his favorites. So, yeah.
In the rafters. That's where they got it. In Monument Park.
30 years
that's where
ago.
It's at.
They had Tony Romo in the non-playoff section.
This is Modell's. It's probably New York. So, yeah. Whatever.
They do have players.
Greg, just keep it on, Greg. Come on. Yeah, don't start, Greg.
Can I just keep going, but we've got to get five more shout-outs
to
the
Screenshot Mafia. Yes.
Eric Decker went with the first pick in the sixth round in this 12-teamer I'm doing. We're towards the end of the 10th, and Corey Davis and Rishard Matthews are both on the board.
That's interesting.
Wow. People are really buying this Eric Decker hype. I love it. I don't want to know what it is.
I'm going to say it, Greg. It's narratives. People are in love with certain stories or guys in certain situations. They're in love with the Lynch thing. Now, you know, you're seeing some love for the Eric Decker thing because he's going to Tennessee and they feel like there's no major established name. You know, you really got to look at the situation. You know, you got to break it down more than
that. Touching
Eric
Decker in the sixth round. That's crazy to me. I'll take players like Randall Cobb. I'm Devontae Parker, which probably not, but Jeremy Maclin, you know
people
what I'm saying?
How about this, Corey?
I'm fascinated.
I think I'd rather take a shot on that invisible wide receiver in D.C., Josh Doctson, that we've never seen than I fool with Eric Decker.
Eric Decker, these are the receivers that went after him. DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Jamison Crowder, Brandon Marshall, Cam Meredith, Devontae Parker.
Come on, these dudes. Oh, my goodness.
You know what it is? And you talk about Lynch, you talk about Decker. You know, people are fascinated by guys that change teams. And they always, very often, look at the positive with a guy that's changing the team.
Well, look, Decker's been a very valuable fantasy player. And I understand. I'm just, as we mentioned, it's not like he's coming off a healthy season. He got really injured last season.
Yeah.
And it's not just one injury.
His rotator cuff was messed up, and I think his groin might have been like off the bone.
Another situation like this, like people are talking up Pierre Garçon. I'm not saying he's going to be invisible, but they're saying, look at the coach and, you know, look at the situation. But Pierre Garçon has no solid complements around him, and the defense is going to know that, you know, and... You know, he's got Brian Hoyer, quarterback. Yeah, you know, you talk about system and everything. I'm not saying Garcon's going to be invisible, but a lot of people are talking him up because a lot of people say new players in new places. And I'm not buying into Garçon and Lynch as much as everybody else is.
Or Robert Woods.
Robert Woods is in a situation, though, that's like, you know, to changing the environment there. It's a dicey situation for Woods. They're changing the environment because they're bringing in everything around Goff. You know, McVay has a staff that's like very quarterback friendly, et cetera. But there's going to be bumps in the road. The kid is still learning a new offense. I like this rookie that they have, Cooper Kupp, because, you know, he can move the chains for a kid like that too. But I think you got to temper expectations sometimes with guys that change teams. Robert Woods will be the number one, and, you know, this is a guy that, like, on 3rd and 9, you know, has good leaping ability, can make a nice catch here, but it's going to be very, very inconsistent.
I kind of like Garçon in San Francisco, especially with Hoyer there. I mean, Hoyer's proven he can make number one wide receivers good. Look what he did with DeAndre Hopkins in Chicago last year before he broke his arm, and I started him that Thursday night, unfortunately. You know, he is relevant. He is definitely fantasy relevant. He's going to be on a bad team. They'll probably, you know, be playing from behind and stuff. So I kind of like Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, I'm not saying he won't be relevant, but, you know, I think there are a lot of people that are like talking him up, and I'm like, I think he'll be okay, but he's not going to be outstanding. I mean, there's nobody else to take the pressure off of him in that passing game.
No, there's not. And, you know, starting the fifth round is early for Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
But I like what he brings.
I like more Pierre Garçon, like the eighth round, you know, ninth, something like that.
Let me bring up to Corey quickly here something I talked about yesterday. That was Jameson Crowder, who I've kind of been wondering why he went here at the end of the fifth round. And I love Jameson Crowder. Do you know what Jameson Crowder did, Corey, at the end of the year last year, down the stretch in the playoffs?
Was he slow down on the stretch?
It was awful. He was awful. And
quarterback was bad down the stretch too.
But we love Kirk Cousins this year too.
Huh?
We love Kirk Cousins this year
too. When Crowder was hot, he was very touchdown dependent. You can't predict that.
Scott, it's a great point. Yeah. Let me just read you his fantasy playoffs before we hit the break.
So what was this?
2 for 37.
Yeah.
4 for 24. 1 for 3. That was his playoffs.
That was the last 3 weeks. Remember
that was 9, 3, 17. It's 14, 15, 16.
Remember they had to win 2 or 3 games to get in the playoffs, and they lost to all those bad teams down the stretch.
Yeah.
They played terrible.
They did.
They played terrible.
I got Jameson Crowder in the 8th round, and I was very happy.
The 8th round and the 5th round are very different things. Just saying.
This is a 12 team.
You also got Keenan Allen in the 5th, didn't you?
I'm liking this.
Crazy.
Team.
Absolutely crazy. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Dr. Ray, talk a couple baseball injuries here with us next on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Dr. Ray, we'll get to him in a couple of minutes. Before we hit the break, Corey, I know we were just talking on the Jameson Crowder conversation.
Yeah, I love him.
I know you love him. I love him too, but I was kind of dismayed to see at the end of the year just how bad he was.
They stunk. Well, the whole team was bad down the stretch. The whole team, both the guys, they stunk it up down the stretch. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out as far as, you know, the team stunk it up down the stretch. As far as Jameson Crowder, I like the fact that they take shots with him inside that 25 to 30 yard range. They try to get Jameson Crowder the ball in the end zone. So listen, I'm going back in on Jameson Crowder. I know they got a lot of pieces in that offense, but I think they got enough to throw around that he'll finish as a wide receiver 3.
I think he's gonna get a lot of targets and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about him. He can break one for a touchdown anywhere on the field.
Yeah.
I like that aspect. But I think Pryor's going to be the end zone target because they were stating that, you know, they needed a bigger option in the end zone than Crowder. But I still like Crowder a lot.
Yeah, when you look at these teams, they're looking to try to revamp what they do in the red zone. I think that's why the Titans sign a guy like Eric Decker, because they just don't want to be able to give it to Derrick Henry. I think that's why Seattle has Eddie Lacy, just so, you know, they don't necessarily have to throw it to Graham, and they have no other option in the red zone here. And I think, you know, they looked to Crowder a lot inside the 20 last year. I think that might change, and that might make Crowder, you know, a different type of player where they're looking for him more for the downfield hit.
What's the projections on Crowder? Can you pull that up?
We can't ask Scott Angle that?
I'm sorry.
It's his package.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
I don't have access to it yet. I guess I got to pay for it.
$39.95. Free radio checkout for a special day.
There you go. It's inside the exclusive edge package. The projections. I don't have those open at the moment. Sorry.
Yeah, well, the problem with Crowder was, as I mentioned, why I think Pryor is going to see a significant boost in the targets is he wasn't a guy that was efficient in the red zone. I mean, Cousins did look for him, but he wasn't efficient. I think he had two or three touchdowns inside the 20. Most of his damage was done outside of it. And, you know, if Jordan Reed can stay healthy, but that's a big if.
Yeah, it's a big if. And speaking of health, it's time to talk to the health doctor. Dr. A, welcome back. You're on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Good to be with you guys. Was just in New York yesterday talking to you guys and back in Atlanta today.
Yeah, absolutely. This is 3 days in a row. You're talking to us, Doc, and we're happy to have you aboard on the program. We're going to change it up a little bit, talk some baseball with you now. And I got to talk about New York Yankees prospect Gleyber Torres, because that's the most disheartening thing for me. Tommy John surgery in his non-throwing elbow. It is the most frustrating thing ever because he had a bad slide, and now he's out for the year. The Yankees say he will be back, no problem, spring training in 2018. Should we believe them?
Yes. He doesn't. It's not like a pitcher that has had, you know, lots of strain on that elbow because it's a throwing elbow, and then getting Tommy John surgery and then seeing how they progress. This is sort of a freak injury. I don't know if you ever played Little League Baseball, but, you know, they always tell you never slide head first into a base. Always slide feet first. The chance of injury head first is a, you know, it increases the risk of injury significantly. And in fact, you know, one of the things that we're going to be adding to our algorithm is guys that are known to slide head first have an increased chance and risk of injury. And he's sort of, you know, the impact of the arm on the base, if they really go in pretty hard, you know, it puts a significant amount of force on that elbow. And if there's just a little bit of torque, then it's very easy for a UCL to tear, or any other ligament in the elbow.
Doc, Bud Norris goes on the DL with left knee inflammation. You know, this guy was very, very effective for a while here, and now he's going to be unavailable. He's on the 10-day DL, but how long do you see him missing?
Yeah, it's a grade one left knee, so I don't see him missing more than 2 weeks. You know, so a 10-day DL between 1 and 2 weeks, I think that will be just fine. We had him. This is a guy that has just dropped to a little bit to elevated injury risk, but he stayed above average in his HPF, so he hasn't dropped significantly. So if he does rest over the next 10 days, you know, he should be back into low injury risk and peak health.
Hey, Doc, a pitcher who was looking to be in the Cy Young conversation, Dallas Keuchel. What's the latest on him? Can we expect him back sooner than later?
Yeah, so if you remember, so he had his injury on June the 5th. And, you know, it's a grade one neck injury. And so it doesn't involve the disc, according to, you know, what our algorithms are pulling. And so a grade one is a two-week optimal recovery time. It's likely due to paraspinal muscle spasm. It didn't drop him much on our algorithm. He's still at 11% injury risk. I mean, you know, 13% or higher is getting into elevated. So he's still staying low. His HPF is above average. It didn't drop anymore. So we don't think that this is going to be a significantly impactful injury. You know, he'll miss probably, you know, he missed one start, but he should be back to almost peak health if he does continue to rest for the next week.
Even though this is his second time with this, that's what's concerning to me. That's why, you know, like, you're telling me everything's cool, so I like that. But it, to me, I just feel like maybe there's something more to this.
Yeah, you know, the previous one was a grade one. This is a grade one. Our grade one is not within the disc. It's outside the spine. It is within the paraspinal muscles. You're right. This could be like a little nagging type of sort of injury. However, if it's truly paraspinal muscle, if it's just a true muscle injury, that could be easily fixed, you know, with appropriate rest. And so, you know, once it starts involving the disc at a higher level or higher grade, that's when you really should worry. If it stays here at a grade one and it's just the muscle, you know, I don't think you should, you know, have to worry too much about it. He just dropped to above average, so he should be back up to peak health in about a week.
Doc, what up, Doc? How you doing?
I'm good, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing well, Doc. Thank you.
Inside injury. This.
Yeah, well, Scott, I can say hello to the doctor. I was chilling with the man all week. I wanted to say hello. Anyway, Doc.
You want to give a shout out to anybody else while we're at it?
Doc, AJ Pollock, what's up with him?
Okay, you know, we've talked a lot about him. You know, groin injuries. He's had a multiple history of groin injuries in the past. Remember, you know, May 14th is when he had this groin injury, and we had him at, you know, elevated injury risk before that, and moved to high injury risk after that. Then he had a quad injury during the rehab assignment and fell tightness. And so this is a perfect example of a guy that's at elevated injury risk and, you know, sort of even in his rehab assignments kind of pushed him a little bit and then suffers a quad injury. Especially with a guy that's had a history of groin injuries, you know, September of 16 and then in spring training this year. So, you know, right now it's a grade one groin and a grade one quad. So a good thing it's not anything more significant than that. He's still remaining at elevated injury risk, but his HPF is still above average. So, you know, his ORT is 2 weeks. If he can really and truly rest for 2 weeks, you know, he probably will get back into, you know, that peak health category. However, unfortunately, this is one of those guys that has a like, sort of higher risk, higher reward type problem now, because when you got three groin injuries in 12 months, he will always be at elevated injury risk unless he rests for at least 4 months, and that's only can be done in the off season. So high risk reward for him.
We're talking to Dr. A, Inside Injuries. We appreciate you hopping on with us for day three here with us, Doc. And you were in New York. No one could see that, Scott. It's way too small.
That's what she said. What's that?
Sorry. And charity. I did not have a doctor on, little boy.
I did not mean for that to happen. Yeah. Talking to Dr. A, I apologize for the juvenileness of Corey. Yes. I apologize.
Doc know how we play around.
Doc, are you into pediatrics? Corey needs some help.
This is, I, you know, the conversation has taken a like weird turn all of a sudden.
Yeah, you can only blame one guy for that, and he's to my left. Zach Britton, we've talked about him before with you, and he's on the way back, and they've done seemingly right by him, right? Like, very, very slowly working him back up, ramping it back up. Zach Britton hopes to be back probably in the next couple of weeks. Will he be
just
back?
Just transferred him to the 60-day, right?
Well, that doesn't matter. Yeah. That's just a procedural move. But yeah, he should be back in a couple of weeks. Doc, will Zach Britton be 100% when he returns?
Absolutely not. The injury that he sustained is a grade 3 forearm strain. That means there's an intrinsic muscle tear associated with that. And so right now he's at high injury risk, and his HPF is 33% right now. So 3 weeks coming back, to get from a HPF of 33% poor, you need more time than that. You need probably about 6 weeks to 7 weeks to really get back into it. If he does come back in 3 weeks, we'll see what his metrics look like, but I doubt they'll be at low and peak. Probably the best that we can hope for, he'll be at elevated and below average when he gets back in 3 weeks if he decides to make an appearance. So Zach Britton, if he does come back in 3 weeks, he's not, you know, someone that, you know, you should look to start because he's at a very high injury risk still.
There you go. Dr. A, Inside Injuries, we appreciate you coming on. As always, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Great to be with you guys.
Thank you very much. When we return here on the Road to Factors in the Morning, we're going to fill in the blank. We're gonna get the fill in the blank about the FSTA, so make sure you have the drafts up there, and we'll talk about your favorites, your least favorites, the things that stood out to you inside the FSTA draft. It's the first true expert league draft of football season. Also, coming up here in the last half hour of the program, we'll get Corey's thoughts and the rest of the panel's thoughts on what went down in the NBA yesterday, the D'Angelo Russell trade, the Dwight Howard trade, and what we're thinking about Kristaps Porzingis. Roto Experts in the Morning, half hour to go here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network here with you, hanging out with the King, Matt Modica, Corey Parson around as well. And I wanted to get some film blank here with the FSTA draft, and I wanted to make sure we covered it wire to wire. You know, of course, we'll talk about it all throughout the next couple of weeks. As more and more drafts come in, we'll see the updated things. I love, and Mike Clay does a nice job on this on Twitter. He really does track, you know, from a draft on May 19th to a draft on June 19th, where the differences were and who rose and who did not. And I'll find those for tomorrow so we can talk about them a little bit, the players that mattered. But who, from the end of May to the end of June, who rose, who fall? It's a really, really good take by Mike Clay over at ESPN. Corey, first fill in the blank, sir, is...
What did Mike Clay do that was so good?
He tracked on from May 19th to June 19th the five top movers at every position in drafts.
Okay, okay.
It's a good, it's a nice job by Mike Clay.
No.
I just prefer the NFFC's ADP.
That's fine. Yeah. I just think he does a nice job tracking it. That's all.
Yeah. Shout out to Mike Clay, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, give him a shout out.
All right, Corey. Yo. The best pick of the FSTA draft is blank.
The best pick of the FSTA draft... Well, you just hit me with a hard one right off the rip, huh?
Just fill in the blank, man. Told you it was coming.
The best pick of the draft was the Zay Jones pick by Colton and the Wolfman team in the 11th round.
Zay Jones in the 11th round. Why is that the best pick of the draft?
This is a young man that's going to be a part of the offense out there in Buffalo this year. I've seen some projections from him, some people in the know. I think he's got it. That's going to be – he might be in rookie of the year talks. I think that's the kind of – the way they're going to use him. So I think he is definitely going to be a player that fantasy owners are going to have in their lineups this season.
Matt Modica, the best pick of the FSTA draft was blank.
I would have said Jordy Nelson going 13th, but since we're going deeper, I'm going to say Ray Flowers, 7th round pick of Kareem Hunt. I'm all in on him. I think he's going to be the guy in Kansas City.
Scott Engel, same question to you, my friend.
That's a tough one, but you know, looking
you knew it was coming.
Looking through it, I'm going to say the one of Samaje Perine in the 8th round. Sam Perine in the 8th round by Fantasy Alarm.
By Howard Bender. You call one of Howard Bender picks the best pick of the damn draft?
This guy's out Russell of
Wilson.
Mind.
I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Russell Wilson in the 8th round. Russell Wilson in the 8th round, your guy, by the FNTSY crew, was not your favorite pick?
It's a good pick, but, you know, it's quarterback. You wait on a quarterback.
So. Oh, this is a 14-team league. Yeah,
I'm being objective here. It's, you know, I like the Perine pick. I think, that Rob Kelly is, I don't like him a lot to hold on to that job. Perine's very talented. He's a good situation offense that, you know, he can finish off a lot of drives. I like it.
I made a mistake. Best pick of the draft.
Yes.
The 14th round, at the 14th or 13th? 13th round.
Devontae Booker.
There you go, right there.
We got a little inside scoop on that Devontae Booker pick yesterday.
Oh, really? Did they see the Home Shopping Network? Is that why?
Yes.
Yeah. The Fantasy Shopping Network. That's going to be interesting. Another one of those should be coming out in the next couple of days. You know what I'm saying? Before the end of the week, it's going to be a lot of fun to play, and we're going to be talking about. So we'll figure it out, though.
Those videos are making Mike Florio a star on Twitter.
Yeah, no doubt.
As it should. Scott Engel, the worst pick of the FSTA draft is blank.
I'm going to say, like, in the fifth round, Paul Perkins of the Giants. To me, that's just an opportunity pick, and I don't see opportunity leading to production. You know, this team went with Hilton, Allen, and Robinson to start, and then went Kelvin Benjamin, and then you take Paul Perkins as your number one, and you follow it up with Doug Martin. I just feel like it's just like a recipe for disaster.
For me, it's Eddie Lacy in the third round.
Okay. There you go. We talked about him a little bit earlier on the show. Corey?
Let me just find something from Howard Bend the team.
Yeah, no problem.
Was this the fifth with Rob Kelly and with Fat Rob in the fifth?
That was my second.
There you go right there. Yeah. He's Fat Rob in the fifth. We go with that one right there. Rob Kelly in the fifth. It's this guy that's still playing baseball. He don't know what's going on right now.
I like the Perrine pick in the eighth, though.
Right.
Why do you like that pick in the eighth? I think eighth
round is good value for a guy who's going to start. Like,
you don't know he's going to start, Scott.
I'm projecting that he's going to take the job over. Now, I totally agree with the Kelly pick is bad. I probably would have zapped that out, not even taking Kelly, and just took P. Ryan in the eighth.
Okay, well, so you spent two picks in four rounds.
Take P. Ryan in the eighth, right, Scott? This is the team with Melvin Gordon and Eddie Lacy. So you have a starting running back in your flex in this PPR? This guy don't know what he's doing. Jonathan Williams is on his team too. He's got four running backs on his team that can have fantasy value. He can't get them all in the lineup.
I'm not disagreeing that the whole draft was not good. I'm saying isolating the pick on its own, I like him in the eighth round.
But I don't know. He's looking for a lot here.
But there's no value in that, Scott. He's going around the eighth, ninth round of drafts. I want to see. Best pick of the draft has got to be something that has some value to it. It's no value to that P. Ryan pick right there.
I think there is.
I agree.
I think there's a lot of trouble with Decker as your third, Ross as your fourth, and Stills as your fifth.
The team is terrible.
The team's not good, but I like the pick.
He doesn't know what the F he's doing.
I like the pick on its own.
The John Ross pick in the next round, horrific. The kid may not even play this year. He's got injury history.
I will say, P. Ryan in the eighth is probably one of his best.
I also
picks.
Like Eric Ebron in the 10th round.
I love Eric Ebron in the 10th round.
Yeah.
Graham and 6-2 is decent.
I mentioned that yesterday, Eric Ebron. All right, gentlemen, the next fill in the blank, we go to you, Matt Modica, first. The most surprising pick of the FSTA draft. Not good, not bad, surprising. It's blank.
It's got to be a kicker in the 10th round by Charlie Weigert.
Okay.
All right. I don't get that why you're doing that.
Okay. Corey Parson.
The most surprising pick?
Yeah.
I would say the most surprising pick of this draft would be the Joe Mixon in the third round pick. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It is surprising, but I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. And King.
Because he's going ahead of a lot of other people.
I'm going to go back to Paul Perkins. You know, why take him in the fifth round when there were better running backs on the board? You know, Mike Gillisley went a few picks later.
Would you mind choosing somebody else? You already chose that person.
Go with Doug Martin.
I'm with him, though. The kicker in the 10th round is kind of like...
Okay, pick something
else that somebody hasn't chosen yet.
Scott, your boy, that bum Tyler Lockett was taking... Chris Liss took Tyler Lockett in the 11th. Remember last year, everybody thought that stiff was going to break out Tyler Lockett. Why don't you pick that one, Scott? That Tyler Lockett pick in the 11th round.
Don't you tell me what to pick.
That's surprising right there.
Excuse me, you already got to talk, all right? So... pipe your loud ass down, and I'll say, Giovanni. Let's go, Giovanni Bernard in the 10th round because Kenny Mixon's. It's all about Kenny Mixon. This guy's coming off a torn ACL and might miss the first few weeks of the season. I don't want to call anybody out, but you know that when you take Giovanni Bernard in the 10th round, you might still be thinking baseball.
Who's Kenny Mixon?
He meant Joe's brother. He meant Joe Mixon.
The Mixon family.
Not the crook.
King, fill in the blank. Your favorite team in the FSTA draft is blank.
My favorite team in the FSTA draft. I'm not going to say Charlie Weigert. He took too many. I would probably say. I like what team one did a lot. No, team two did a lot. What is that? Corey Benigni was like was like second. No, team one.
Team two
is Corey Benigni, David Johnson, Doug Baldwin, Jarvis Landry, Cook, Crowder, Peterson, Carr, Terrell Williams. You know, I think taking a chance on Jamal Williams as well. Tyler Higbee could end up being a really good value. I like what the Benigni brothers did.
I like the FNTSY team. I think Kyle put a hell of a team together. He's being biased here. Look at that team.
A little biased there.
Come on. He's got Crowell, Watkins, Graham, Gillisley. And he got Russell Wilson in the eighth round.
Corey Parsons.
Nah, the FNTSY team is the best team in the draft, but I'll pick somebody different. I'll go back up to the top of the board, the Stats Advantage team, Sports Hub, you know, with Greg and Tom. Let me look at the starting lineup. Matt Ryan, Le'Veon Bell, Tevin Coleman, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins, Martavis Bryant. And then you'll have Marty B in the as a tight end. They could flex Theo Reddick. They could flex Jordan Matthews. They got Ted Ginn late. Jason Witten's on this team. Tim Hightower's going to have fantasy value at some point in the season. They killed it.
There you go. Final.
Oh, wait a minute. Can I change what maybe the worst pick in the draft is? I just saw something I forgot about.
Please.
Devontae Parker in the fourth round.
You don't like Devontae Parker?
No, not at all.
How come?
No. I think he's way overrated. I don't think, you know, his quarterback throws downfield well. That's still a Jarvis Landry type of offense. I don't like that at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, final question. Matt, you've already answered this question.
By the way, Chris Liss has two Dolphins in his first four picks. I guess he really likes Miami.
Final question for you, gentlemen. Fill in the blank. One word to describe Team FNTSY. Matt, since you already kind of gave us your opinion, you can go first.
Awesome.
Corey.
Efficient.
Scott.
Solid.
There you go. All words describe it. Solid. Everybody likes Team FNTSY. Oh, it's a nice job by Chris Vaccaro. Not so much Nando DeFino.
Well, he did get Muhammad Sanu.
I love it. I love it.
And Corey did push on the Devontae Booker.
There you go, right there.
So there you go. At least they're listening to, you know, our.
And you got to hear the story about how Nando picked his draft spot.
I heard it. You know, everyone. So it's interesting. Everyone, they try to give. I'll tell you the story on the air. They told the experts, you know, listen, pick where you. We'll give you whatever spot you want. We'll try to accommodate everybody, and we want to make sure that this is helpful to your readers, to your listeners, to your viewers, and so we're gonna try to accommodate everybody. And basically, Nando didn't pick yet, and he looked around and see, Howard Bender sits in the 12th spot. We got Rick Wolf and Glenn Colton in the 14th spot. Yeah, I like those guys. I'll pick 13.
So he picked the 13th spot so he can sit next to the team at 14 because he wanted to chill with Glenn Colton and Rick Wolf.
There you go. When we come back, we'll bring down the NBA and wrap up the program next on the Roto Experts.
It's...
Final couple minutes here. Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Before we finish things off, Corey, the NBA draft is just a day away.
Yeah.
It is draft season, man. It is very, very cool with what's going on right now. A lot of trades, a lot of maneuvering, a lot of big names on the market. Paul George, Jimmy Butler made waves yesterday basically saying, listen, I don't want to go to Cleveland. And, you know, Boston certainly seems like the front runner for him come tomorrow. But the two major trades happened yesterday. The first, D'Angelo Russell, Timofey Mozgov go to Brooklyn for Brooke Lopez. And that was a monster trade there. And you had Dwight Howard leaving Atlanta, his hometown, to head to Charlotte. What do you think of those moves?
I mean, both interesting moves. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell is the big piece that is moving in the deal. I'll be honest, I haven't really looked at these are both trades that I just didn't hear about till late last night. The other one earlier today, actually, because I'm down at the FSTA. So I do have to give it a little bit more looking into these dealings that are getting done before I can give some analysis on that.
All righty. Scotty, what about you? I know you were also at FSTA, so I don't know how much you've seen of it, but pretty big deals here.
Yeah, you know, Brooke Lopez obviously becomes a focal point of the offense now in Los Angeles. D'Angelo Russell.
Alonzo Ball going to be the focal point of the offense.
Well, he hasn't been drafted yet, though. So until that happens, you know, Brooke Lopez. And even if they do draft Ball, though, he's going to be a significant part of that offense. The Nets wanting to clear some money there. You know, then you look at Russell coming over to Brooklyn. You know, that's a guy that's going to take a lot of shots and, you know, won't help your field goal percentage in fantasy a whole lot, but he's going to rack up some points. And, you know, Dwight Howard, you know, the Charlotte's trying to make the playoffs, and, you know, they want to make a push there. And they feel that's a defensive piece that they really need.
So there you go. D'Angelo Russell in Brooklyn is going to get plenty of opportunities to chuck the ball at Modine. Yep. You got to like him.
Yeah, I mean, for the Nets in their current situation, this was like the best possible scenario. And is Dwight Howard like still owed like $70 million or something?
Not anymore.
Okay,
we're past that.
Okay, I know he was owed some money, but
how many kids he got now?
I don't know. Does he have a lot? Like he's getting up.
He's getting up there. He's getting up there. Like, you know, some of the baby daddy legends of the past,
like Travis Henry.
I don't know if he's going Travis Henry.
Tony Cromartie.
Yeah, I don't
think
fathers
of our country.
He's getting deep up there. You know what I'm saying? You know,
Philip Rivers, man.
Phil Rivers got a good amount too. You know what I mean? So
he wants more of our country.
Huh?
Yeah, he used that joke on the reaction the first time. So. Corey, what's coming next in the OGs?
All right, coming up on the OGs, we continue our search for the next fantasy broadcast star. So my man Angelo's over there sitting in here right now. He's got on the Eli Manning jersey. I'm not a fan of that. Off the top. Let you know that right there.
Cowboy fan.
America's team.
No, that's the Patriots.
So we'll recap some of the FSTA draft with him, get some of his thoughts on the upcoming football season. So we'll have a good time with that, and then I'm gonna keep rocking this football. It sucks.
I recommend not continuing to slam it into the microphone.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm giving everybody the experience. You know, it's like
you're
here,
the huddle.
It's like you're here with me, the fantasy executive. What's up, Scott?
What's up?
Chilling.
We got a minute left in the program today.
I'm not on the clock nowhere right now, and I'm like fiending.
You're like,
I need to be on the clock somewhere.
We got a minute left.
I wanted to ask you a real quick question.
Yes, Scott.
Not sports related.
Sure.
What do you think about Daniel Day-Lewis announcing he's retiring from acting?
Yeah, he's retiring acting until he needs more money, and he becomes an actor again.
The stat on him, he's the only guy to win the best actor three times.
Yeah. Jay-Z retired from rapping, by the way, as well.
Daniel Day-Lewis is awesome.
So you think the actors are just full as the musicians are?
Of course they are. They're actors. That's literally their job, is to be full of it. It's going to do it for us here at Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can be. It's definitely full of it. For Corey Parson, for Scott Angle, and for Matty Modica, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for listening to the Records in the Morning. The OGs are up next. Have a tremendous rest of your Wednesday. See you right back here, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, for another edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.